morning is Blay Muser against Hazenfang. Mr. Jakowiak.
Thank you. Good morning and Happy New Year. I'm Larry Jakowiak on behalf of the plaintiff, John Blomhauser. In this case, Mr. Blomhauser was arrested after a burglary. He alleged he was beaten up by a group of Chicago police officers, including the defendant, Frederick Hazenfang. After the incident, he was taken to a hospital, Christ Hospital in Oak Lawn. The medical records reveal abrasions about his body, face, arms, torso, legs, tenderness in the arms, lower body area. His treating physician.
I understand. I'm sympathetic to your position that Dr. Pietro should be permitted to testify about causation, but he didn't seem to remember anything. So what could he have testified to?
Well, that's quite often the case for a treating physician who have hundreds of
Yes, I know. But if he forgets, I'm not criticizing Dr. Pietro. But I don't see what valuable evidence he could have offered.
Well, during the course of the deposition, what happened was he used the medical records to refresh his recollection. And
they didn't refresh. So
nothing happened.
So,
he did. He confirmed what was in the records? Did he reach the opinion?
Well, the record is the record, but I don't see what his testimony would add to the record.
Well, both sides, during the course of litigation, the case felt differently. There was a motion to bar his opinion brought by the defendants, and the argument was that his opinion should be barred from the trial, and that motion was...
Suppose he had gotten on the stand and he said, my opinion is this was caused by X. Next question. What is the basis for your opinion? I don't have any. Did you once hold this opinion? Answer, yes. What was the basis for holding this opinion? I don't remember.
Oh, the next question.
How does anything happen other than the judge says this whole testimony is stricken?
The next question.
We keep saying that experts have to have reasons for their opinions, and an expert who completely, suppose Pietro had filed a report and it said, it is my opinion that these injuries were caused by a deliberate assault. Next section. The basis for my opinion is, I don't remember, period.
That actually happens.
Would that have been admissible?
Well, that actually happens all the time. The next question would be, would anything refresh your recollection? Mm-hmm. Typical answer is yes, to medical records.
And he would. Been through this. You tried to refresh his recollection, and as Judge Posner said, it didn't refresh. So we've got an opinion, and then the next line is basis for the opinion, none. Well, isn't that pretty much it?
That's more of a Daubert issue or just an admissibility issue, and this issue was decided upon 26A2 and 26A2A.
The question is, what difference? If I don't see what difference it would have made at the trial had the judge not, excluded the evidence. If his recollection wasn't refreshed at the deposition, it wouldn't be plausibly refreshed a couple of years later at a trial. Oh, I suddenly remembered. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, right.
Case.
Well, that would be standard impeachment. Well, at your deposition, doctor, you said this,
yeah,
and now you're saying
this.
It's not an admissibility issue.
Tenuous,
it's
tenuous, though.
And then the only thing he could really do if he looked at the documents and still didn't refresh his recollection as to causation would be to look at it and say, in his opinion, using his expertise as a doctor who's seen injuries like this, that it's likely it was caused, and then that gets you into expert land, right?
Gives us what?
Put you into expert testimony. If he doesn't have a recollection of how he treated or what the causation is, he looks at the records, he sees these are injuries, and, based on all my experience as a physician, the cause of these injuries was X. That puts you in expert land, and he wasn't noticed as an expert.
It does put us in expert land, but I think there's different definitions of what an expert is. Classically, an expert is someone who gives expert testimony. But the rules, 26A2A and A2B, treat experts differently. The question as far as disclosure is, was the expert specially retained or employed? Our argument was that he...
But Judge Williams is putting a question. Suppose Pietro had amnesia. He doesn't remember anything that happened, more than a week ago. he could, or maybe he remembers his medical training, but he has a block of time that includes this, the incident here. There's absolutely no recollection. Some particular part of his brain was removed accidentally, so he could still, as Judge Williams was suggesting, he could still qualify as an expert and give testimony as would any expert about a stranger, someone he'd never treated, because functionally it would be the same if he had no recollection, right? That's,
well, if he had no recollection,
so once it's clear from the deposition that he doesn't remember this incident, then any testimony he's going to be given will be based not on what he observed, but on studying the record as any expert would do, and, you know, bringing his knowledge to bear.
His opinion would be, I made a diagnosis of assault, and based upon my refreshed recollection upon reviewing the medical records, and I think that's what's in the record.
But he presumably looked at the medical records at the deposition, right?
Didn't, and he gave different answers to that question during the course of the deposition. He did say he did remember, but then he also reviewed the records and said...
Were the records in evidence, put into evidence, the medical, the write-up of
this
the
issue
emergency
room? Was decided solely, the deposition video and the record was not totally part of the motion limiting or part of the record. The issue was decided solely upon the argument by
would
the defendants.
Would the record have been admissible at trial? Would have been.
Yeah, at trial, what would have happened would have been the district court would have ruled upon what portions of the video or of the dub transcript would have been admissible.
Would the medical record of the emergency room visit, that would have been admissible, wouldn't it?
The medical records were, but the judge ruled that part of the record, the diagnosis of assault, was not admissible.
What, the part in the medical record that said it was, you thought it was an assault?
Correct.
That's inadmissible? You're challenging that?
I'm not challenging it. I'm saying that's what happened at trial.
you could say the judge was wrong. He certainly could include the whatever diagnosis.
Both Judge Lefkow and Judge Kaur affirmed Judge Lefkow based upon her ruling that this opinion is not coming into the record at trial. That this person.
Talking about the opinion, the medical report.
Did the court admit it?
The report was admitted. The report was admitted. But
and
we
does
were.
Does it say anything about the causation?
It does. It says assault,
right.
But we were barred.
Okay. Well, that's as good as you'd get from his live testimony.
That's true, but we were barred from...
Well, are you challenging that?
Yes, are you saying
that the record should have been admissible in its entirety?
That's correct.
That's part of your appeal?
That's correct.
And the report was admitted into evidence, and was it sent back to the jury as an exhibit?
It was not.
And that was your client's choice, or...
That was our choice based upon the fact that we could not get in the fact that of the assault being mentioned. That was in the record. If we could have got that before the jury, we wouldn't be here because
So let me just be clear. Was the medical report with his diagnosis of assault admitted into evidence?
That was. Correct.
So since it was admitted into evidence, there were no restrictions put on it, right, in terms of when it would go back to the jury?
That was not.
Yeah, no restrictions were put on it. So his opinion was not redacted when it was time to go to the jury.
There were restrictions. I was barred. If I would have talked about that opinion in closing argument, for example, or anywhere during the trial, I would have went to jail. That opinion was barred. I could not get that opinion before the jury. The record is clear on that. We could not send that record with that opinion.
But you haven't.
We could have redacted it. We chose not to send it back at all.
You haven't stated as an issue presented for review. You've just complained about his not being permitted to testify. You haven't complained about the medical report being redacted.
The issue presented for review was the court's ruling on the motion in limine, which barred us from introducing the diagnosis, the expert opinion of an assault.
In your brief, you complain about not about his failure to is not being permitted to testify, but you're not being permitted to refer to the diagnosis in the emergency room report. I don't see that.
Well, the judge's ruling was that the diagnosis of assault.
What the judge's ruling was, have you presented in your appeal an issue about his not letting at least the medical record go to the jury with the diagnosis in it?
No. My appeal makes the argument that the motion in limine was incorrect. We are barred from presenting this evidence, and as a result, we are prejudiced. And the evidence we were barred from presenting was the diagnosis of assault, which is in the medical records, which was Dr. Prieto's expert opinion, which is in the medical records. My time is currently up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. Mr. Schultz.
May it please the court. The district court properly barred the doctor's testimony.
It's not an issue. I don't see why. I don't see why his diagnosis would be eliminated from the deleted from the report. I don't get that.
I'm sorry. I don't quite follow your question, Your Honor.
I don't understand why, if the medical report gives Pietro's opinion that Lamuser was a victim of an assault, I don't understand why that should have been kept from the jury.
His testimony was kept from the jury as undisclosed expert.
I'm not talking about his testimony. Oh. Why can't he answer my question?
Well, because it was in the report, and the reason why it wasn't sent to the jury was because my opponent didn't send it to the jury. It was admitted into evidence. Mm-hmm. It wasn't redacted.
Well, he said that the judge wouldn't let him, that he would have gone to jail if he had so much as mentioned the fact that the report contained a diagnosis of assault.
I don't see that in the record, Your Honor. There's nothing in the record to indicate that. Okay. I'm not sure how to respond to that argument because he's never made it. My reading of the report, the records, maybe I should say, is they say the only thing in the record about this diagnosis is in the report. It simply says, there's just a notation that says trauma history, assault, differential diagnosis, assault. That's Plaintiff's Exhibit 4. That was actually admitted into evidence. The judge said you can take anything that you want that's been admitted into evidence and give it to the jury. So that's, as far as this business about him being threatened with contempt or jail, there's nothing in the record to support that. I've never heard anything about that.
So then he could argue that it was assault.
Well,
the record was there. So once it's admitted and it goes back to the jury, he could make whatever argument he wanted.
Sure, he didn't. So I don't understand really what this appeal's about since it focuses on the testimony, which was barred because of nondisclosure. The court didn't say that it was barring it under 26A2B. It said it was barring it under 26A generally and Rules 702 and 703. And 26A generally was violated during the course of the procedural history of this case because the defendant disclosed no experts. Rule 26A2A requires that the proponent of a witness, an expert witness, disclose that witness. It's not good enough to disclose the witness as a fact witness. It's not good enough that the other side actually knows about the witness. The Musser case says this.
I don't see why one would require a report of the treating physician.
Your Honor, we don't think that the report was necessary. In fact, Musser says a report wasn't necessary unless the treating physician's doing something beyond the sort of thing that a treating physician does.
He wasn't when he said he thought it was an assault.
Absolutely not. But that's 26A2B. 26A2A requires the party, the proponent of a witness, to disclose an intention to call that witness as an expert. And an expert is someone who's testifying from...
I'm lost. I don't understand that.
What I'm trying to say, Your Honor, is that 26A2A...
An expert witness is someone you hire to, give testimony. If you're just asking a fact witness about things within his knowledge, what do you need to get into expertness about?
Well, because the rules of evidence define an expert as someone who testifies from specialized knowledge, and according to the case law in the circuit, O'Connor and Musser, that encompasses a treating physician if the treating physician is testifying from his knowledge.
I understand you. I mean, what if he was just going to testify that he treated a fellow for a cut? Would you require an expert report?
No, and we don't require an expert report here either.
But why? I mean, he wouldn't know it was a cut or something if he didn't have specialized knowledge.
Well, Your Honor, I take your example as a cut is to be something that's obvious to anyone.
That's not a good example. Suppose he says, I treated him for a hematoma. Okay?
Fair enough. And the diagnosis is encompassed in that statement. Subsumed in that statement is an expert opinion.
He had a hematoma. I patched it up. Do you require an expert report for that?
No. And no expert report is required here.
What's the difference between that and here? Pardon?
No expert report is required here.
Would you require, in that case, that he be designated as an expert?
That's the case law of Musser and the other cases say that there is a strict requirement for that, and there's a reason for it.
What is the reason?
It plays out well in this case, actually, Your Honor. The reason is that when you have a treating physician, the treating physician, not being specially retained, isn't required to produce a report from which the basis of the opinion and the basis of her qualifications and all that sort of thing would be readily available. So therefore, when the deposition or other discovery takes place, since that information isn't disclosed, the other side has to discover it. When there's no disclosure, it's an assurance. In this case, it's definitely an assurance because as early as August 2007, my opponent was cut off from making any disclosures.
You didn't know that he was going to testify at all? Is that what you're saying?
No, Your Honor. We didn't know that the deposition was going to be used as expert testimony.
Well, I don't know what you mean by expert testimony.
I mean testimony that's based on scientific or expert knowledge of an individual. They're not interested in what Dr. Prieto says.
What's the difference between my hematoma case or is that within your conception of what has to be specially disclosed? I don't understand.
Under 26A2A, it would seem, from what I'm saying, that the hematoma case would be the same as this. The thing that makes it expert testimony, and my opponent makes this clear in his reply brief, he doesn't care. There's already actual testimony in the record that Blomeiser went to the doctor and was treated for what he claimed was an assault. What he wants is the stamp of authority of an expert, someone who knows, who has scientific knowledge, and says, yes, that's right, and I'm rejecting that over other explanations. Only someone who has specialized knowledge, which is why...
I understand you. If you're taken to an emergency room and the doctor treats you and he fills out a report... The report is admissible. Why can't the doctor answer questions about it?
Well, the report in this case, maybe we did make objections, apparently, the record reveals, to the report being admitted, but the district court overruled those objections and admitted it anyway. So the issue here is that it was actually admitted, not necessarily so much that it was admissible. One could object to that as hearsay,
so
for example.
Suppose your opponent, he's anticipating that you're going to object to the sentence in the report about the assault as having been the cause of his injury. I know you're going to object. So what should they do in order to make sure that he's allowed to testify about that report and the entire report is admitted? What do they have to do? They don't have to do an expert report, but what do they have to do?
They simply have to disclose an intention to call that individual as an expert and not merely as a fact witness.
And then what happens?
Then what happens is we get a chance to depose that individual.
Well, you had a chance to depose.
Right, but with the understanding, because the court had already cut off any the defendant's chance to disclose experts after multiple extensions, we go into that deposition, as I understand it, with the view that this individual is going to be called as a fact witness only, if at all. And there's no motivation to go through and discover
well,
the things like
the
CV.
Fact witness, what would you allow him, qua fact witness rather than expert, to testify about?
I suppose if you look at the report, one way to illustrate this, it says a trauma history of assault. If someone comes into the courtroom and says, I'm a doctor, this individual told me the police beat him up, that testimony could be admissible as hearsay because 803 permits the doctor to testify as to information given for the purposes of diagnosis. There might be some dispute as to whether the identity of who... Well, right.
Would he be permitted to testify that this was an injury consistent with an assault?
That, we think, would be expert testimony, Your Honor, because the rules define expert testimony as that which is based on scientific knowledge. I wouldn't know.
So what would you do with him? Would you try to exclude him as not expert enough or something, or what?
Well, that's a separate issue. Whether he's expert enough is a separate issue.
Well, obviously he's expert enough, right? He's an emergency room doctor. Assaults are his bread and butter.
He said that he was just rotating through the emergency room and he wasn't a specialist in emergency medicine. That's one of the few things that is in the record. There are only a few pages of his deposition. They say, I'm not an expert in emergency medicine. I don't remember this. He did, by the way, not confirm his diagnosis. He said, my opponent's brief cites to page 14 of the deposition and says he orally confirmed his diagnosis. That's the page where my opponent asked him about his diagnosis. The next page he says, well, the records say I did that. I don't remember it. I don't remember how we obtained the history, and I don't know where that diagnosis came from. So, therefore, under Rule 702 and 703, you don't have the reliability.
What prejudice was there to you by the failure to designate as an... You got to depose him, and you got to ask him whatever you wanted. What difference does it make?
Right. Well, as I've said, the deposition, we went into it understanding that he wouldn't be called as an expert. So we didn't have the motivation, we didn't have the need to make the kinds of efforts to disqualify him as an expert.
But what's the difference in the report coming in and him just getting on the stand and saying, you know, assault is what was written down on the record. I don't remember the basis for the assault. He gets, you know, you cross-examine him. I mean, I think it has minimal weight in terms of what goes to the jury when the man can't say why it's there, but the record went in, and the record said that. So I don't understand the big problem with
that. Well, I don't understand the big problem either, Your Honor. In fact, the testimony might undermine the report. Because you have the report that says something, and then
of
you have testimony saying...
Of course, I'm surprised he isn't your witness, because he's likely to say, well, the reason I said it was an assault was that fellow told me he'd
right.
been assaulted, right? That would quickly destroy any value to the report. He's better off with just the report.
Well, he didn't even say that the fellow told me. He said, I don't remember if the fellow told me. I don't know how that history was obtained. So, in fact... The report is better than the testimony
right, exactly.
and the report.
Mm-hmm.
So even if, I mean, frankly, even if you think my whole argument about this 26A2A business is completely wrong, it doesn't matter because there's no reason to unsettle the jury verdict or the judgment based on it in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that the court affirm. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. And the